The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Bill Gormley. Bill is the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and he is the president of the Gormley Group, a consulting firm here in Washington, D.C., and where it's fourth quarter and we're getting towards wrapping up the year. I know you only think in government terms.
That's right.
Because it's the first quarter of the fiscal year. I get it. Of the government's fiscal year. I get it. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. But, you know, and the show.
I'm listening to you.
So, you know, we get our last show in the year of the year in with Bill. Not the last show, but the last show this year with Bill. So we're going to cover a number of different issues, what's going on out there in procurement. And, you know, Bill, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate it. Always look forward to it.
Okay. So let's get right into it then. And in the first quarter of the fiscal year and the last quarter of the calendar year, DHS last week had a reverse industry day. And I think you participate in it. We're on one of the panels. Can you talk a little bit about, first of all, what is a reverse industry day?
Sure. This is a, and thank you, Roger. Glad to be here. This was the first that I've seen where government has put an event together. It was a one-day event. As you indicated, by DHS, Soraya Kariya, the Chief Procurement Officer, DHS, who you had at the fall conference, Coalition's fall conference.
That's correct. Yep.
She followed through on what she said she was going to do.
Okay.
Now, there you know, that's
it's
that something right there. Right?
That is. That's
leave,
very good.
I'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with her. It's just the fact that people can say things and follow through with them. So she did a great job. She set out to have, you know, basically the name of the event, Reverse Industry Day, in answer to your question. The intent was to have various industry panels, various topics that were hosted by industry panels. And it was probably the first time I've been at a government event where government people didn't speak, Roger.
Wow.
So I think that was the reverse.
Right, that's the reverse part of it. So what it was for DHS's procurement staff, or, you know, the contracting procurement professionals, contracting officers and specialists, and also program managers to basically be the audience and hear from industry about what's, you know, various issues from industry's perspective.
Yeah, I think government is no different than industry. Government will look at things through a government lens when they were doing acquisition planning. And yes, there is a marketing, there is an industry a research element to acquisition planning. And I think this gives Soraya's intention, I think, was to try a reverse industry day that there were several panels. I was in a preliminary session, one on how industry decides to bid or not. And that was kind of the lead off for the day, and then it goes through cost drivers in industry, you know, responding to the solicitation as an example. Soraya also had, you know, one of her, I'm sure, I don't know if it's her largest customer, one of her large customers anyway, the CIO was there and spent quite a bit of the day there, Luke McCormick, and he actually did something I'd never seen before.
What did he do?
He had a can I say Starbucks here?
I don't care.
Okay, Starbucks. So it was a Starbucks bag, and he's up at the podium, and he pulls out this item from the bag, and he held it in the air, and it was about 2.5-3 inches thick, and he kissed it. And it was the FAR.
Really?
And he said, "You ever seen a CIO kiss the FAR?" And he was like, "I love the FAR." So it was a good exchange. I mean, you know, but it's kind of set the, you know, the environment of, hey, this is going to be a healthy exchange. And the day was not set up to criticize the government or industry. It was to give government, to your earlier point, I think Soraya said there was about 175 in attendance. From
government people.
Yeah, correct, from DHS. A lot of 1102 contracting officers, program managers. There's some IT folks there. And there was a lot of good exchange going on, through the time that I was there for the panels. And there was, I think, kind of our panel, just to kind of, if you want to break down some of this for a minute, is communication and the understanding of the government's requirements, and also for the government to utilize the RFI process, request for information, particularly on the large procurements that involve services, software, cloud, computing. I mean, things that are relatively new to the market and that have great promise. But also, there needs to be a lot of understanding of what both parties are getting into. And a lot of it boiled down to, from an industry's perspective, if there could be an improved way of shared risk is probably the best way I'd put it for large procurements, where maybe it may be best to set out what the government's objective is. In some cases, the government may not benefit itself by being over-prescriptive in their requirements. And I think that was something that industry is looking for ways to offer a solution that could be a lower price. I didn't say LPTA.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that, but LPTA. But a best value. And Soraya was very engaging, as well as her people, during the course of the day.
Well, I think logically, too, the less prescriptive, the more flexibility to meet the requirement, and that could lead to more innovative ways. And we know all you hear about these days, right, from the government is we want innovation. Was there a discussion along those lines?
Well, yes. And, there's always, you got to strike that balance of, you can be over-prescriptive on one hand. In some cases, in fairness, neither party here is perfect. Everybody's looking for a better way of doing things. So, from an industry standpoint, they like to see an opportunity that's clearly something that they have the opportunity to understand and to offer a solution. On the other side, you and I have been on both sides here. So you've been on the other side, and the government needs some fulcrum, for lack of a better way, of balancing out how do you evaluate the offers, I should say, and don't go lawyer on me here, but I mean, that's
okay.
That's all right.
Lawyers are the only people I know who kiss the FAR. Everybody else curses the FAR.
So I think that's, getting back to the event. I mean, I think that DHS, you hear a lot about them, and regardless of, they have a lot of responsibility to kind of protect the homeland here and do a lot of other parts of it. But this is now we're kind of into the weeds here. But sometimes the weeds are, the nitty gritty, which isn't sexy, but it's real. And at the end of the day, it happens through contracting in order to get what the government needs to run itself and to operate and to reinvent itself when necessary.
So I heard this was Mythbusters on steroids. Is that what you saw?
OFPP years ago, it came out, with Mythbuster, and Soraya has taken it to a steroid level. I mean, it was very, very open, and it was a government event, and the invitees were industry. So it wasn't industry sitting in the audience. It was that. So it was very well structured. Harrison, individual named Harrison, did a great job of bringing all this together, and they had a good...
Harrison Smith, right?
And he had a good team behind him. But, for the first one, it was very... probably couldn't have gone better from their perspective. And I think Soraya was pretty pleased on, I think, just getting everybody there. You know how that goes when you put an event together for the first time. And I think hats off to DHS and the acquisition community there, and Soraya as their leader.
Right. Okay, Bill, we have to take our first break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you, what the next steps are. I mean, I see one of the sessions was called The Path Ahead, and get some thoughts or what you heard and saw about where they're going next with this approach, and how they want to translate it into results. And then we'll also talk about some other ongoing interesting issues across the procurement landscape, including, you know, what's next for the GSA Schedules Program, strategic sourcing, category management, all the fun buzzwords out there. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and also the chairman of the Coalition's Board of Directors. Hey, Bill, when we took the break, you were giving us a debrief, so to speak, right on the DHS's Reverse Industry Day and its outreach in that regard. And it, I did note, looking at the agenda, that there was a discussion of path ahead. You know, the path ahead and a discussion of where they were going to go next. I just wondered what you heard or, you know, observed with regard in that regard.
Yeah, I think in regards to the path ahead, you know, Sarai was very adamant that this is not going to be a one and done approach in a check the box for DHS that, hey, we've done, you know, an outreach to industry for their insight as to how DHS does their acquisitions. I think she wants to build off this, and that the folks that were involved in this are going to hear and help putting it together from an industry standpoint are going to hear from them. They're going to do a roll up of what they heard, they being DHS, and we'll be setting up future discussions with industry on how they can get better. And particularly, I think as they may have future requirements coming out, that they'll be using some of what they heard during the course of the DHS reverse industry day. Did I say I almost said reverse auction?
Well, you did almost say, ooh.
Man, that's not good.
Ooh, that's okay. So anyway. No, this is a reverse industry day.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Soraya's, you know, is taking it to the next level. I know, you know, DHS has done other training involving industry on debriefings and that sort of thing in the past, but this is like just a whole different level in terms of the engagement. So,
can we go from one department to another? I mean,
do you want to host the show? That's fine. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, we can talk about any other department you would like to, Bill, as we enter the fourth quarter of the calendar year and the, or we're not more than enter, we're halfway through, right? Just about. And then the first quarter of the government's fiscal year. So who do you want to talk about?
Well, I think it'd be good for the listeners to hear about the VA. You know, Greg Giddens also was, you had at the fall conference, the Coalition's fall conference, Roger. And he is a veteran in the acquisition in the program management world in government. He's been around quite a while, had some major responsibilities, now running basically the procurement executive at VA. And I think I was kind of taken in a good way that in listening to him, he's very pragmatic, very straightforward. And VA is a very large organization that is getting a lot of attention in many ways. And let's, in regard specifically to the acquisition side of it, you know, they're currently looking at, you know, really improving their performance, I guess is maybe a fair way of putting it, out of Hines, Illinois, and paying attention to the office there.
Right.
And
that's the National Acquisition Center that runs the VA Schedules Program.
Yep. And so, at a recent meeting that we were at, you know, with Greg and some of his contracting folks from headquarters, they're putting together requirements for, I think it was about 6,000 commonly used items in the hospitals. So, you know, they're looking at the, it's not really strategic sourcing, but maybe it is, of those items.
Oh, no, it's category management.
Maiden name. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so the category management of items for VA. So they're in the throes of getting that done, or they're working on that. And I think they're going to have a new prime vendor arrangement set up by late March or March of next year, sometime in the spring. So that's a big deal for the product companies and for different ways of channeling products within meeting the you know, the hospital's needs throughout VA.
Right. And you know, to Greg's credit and the VA staff credit, you know, we had the opportunity to have a really good meeting and exchange a lot of information. You know, it wasn't a reverse industry day, but it was an exchange, going back and forth on, just, you know, the, their priorities and goals for the program, and, and then very frankly, providing industry an opportunity to sort of react and provide some feedback on, you know, some of their approaches to it. And even just at the very operational level, you know, where the rubber meets the road, some, you know, opportunities for improvement or changes or that, and challenges, frankly. So, I mean, it was a very good meeting.
Yeah, I think Greg came into this eyes wide open and took to heart a lot of, you know, the feedback from industry and through some of the presentations and discussions. And again, somewhat similar to him, a DHS perspective, is that there was a willingness on both parties. I mean, basically, and as the deputy undersecretary, you know, came in and spoke regards to the, you know, the commitment and some of the advances that they've made. But clearly, to talk about, you can use your, you know, your point of, you know, rubber meets the road. You know, it's clearly they're purely in operations mode right now to get a lot fixed, and so they can help serve, provide better services for the veterans.
Right. Yep. So, you know, you're the one who, you know, sort of, I guess, emceeing the show, or is this a, yeah. So anything else on the VA you want to say, Bill?
No, I think that's, thank you, Roger. I appreciate it. It's an honor, by the way.
Okay.
No, I think that was recent, some recent information from a listener standpoint, that there's clearly going to be more changes in the, and a clear focus on improving the acquisition processes in VA.
Right. So let's just turn to, you know, you sort of touched on the National Acquisition Center and VA schedules. You know, what's and we got about 2 minutes left in this segment. You know, so we can start. You know, what's the latest on the, you know, the schedules program in general? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Or what
in
opportunity?
VA or just in general?
Just in general.
The MAS.
The Multiple Award Schedule Program. Okay. Right.
Well, I think what we have seen, a continued trend here, is that regardless of administrations, that when, I don't want to keep using here, when the rubber meets the road and they got to get something done, yeah, they turn to the schedules program because that is the platform, acquisition platform for, you know, commercial solutions, services, and products. And I think GSA indicated that they had their first sign of growth in sales in the schedules program within the past almost 36 months. And so they were they felt a lot has to do with some of the work that they're doing. In regards, the one thing they are doing is merging 8 schedules into the professional services schedule. So they're currently doing that, and that's a big undertaking. That's out by Auburn and some other centers.
Right. Well, and you know, to the extent they're having some growth. Okay, I put it that way. To the extent they're having some growth, what do you just attribute that to? That just the underlying sort of strength of the program. You know, budgets are more certain the last year. Combination of those things.
I think the beauty of the program is it's such an agile acquisition vehicle, is that it can withstand quite a bit of I use the word criticism on one hand, because everything can always get better, but you know, that base of that program structured, so a lot of people utilize the schedules program as the basis of other contracts, and we can get into that. Just, I think you only said we have a minute or two, so
well, now we got like 20 seconds, so 20 I'm gonna seconds. Have to cut you off, Bill. Yeah, my guest today is Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group, chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And when we come back, we'll continue on this discussion of the GSA Schedules Program. I also want to get Bill's thoughts on the recent memo from OFPP and OMB with regard to purchases of desktop, laptop computers, and that, you know, use of NASA SUP, NIH's contract, and the IT Schedule 70, and, you know, establishing certain configurations. Just get your insights and thoughts on that. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And the segment, I think we'll talk a little category management, big picture and, you know, implementation and what's going on with it. And I think the first thing I wanted to ask you about is the memo from Ann Rung and Tony Scott. Ann Rung is obviously the administrator for federal procurement policy at OMB, and Tony Scott is the United States CIO. And they issued a memo on improving acquisition management of common IT, which is laptops and desktops. And what that memo did is essentially direct agencies, for lack of a better term, to use IT Schedule 70, NIH's contract, or NASA SEWP's contract for certain common configurations of laptops and desktops. And Bill, that's what it essentially says. You know, your thoughts on it and what you've heard about it so far.
Yeah, I think the I think one of the while it was a good to have a dual signature on there, so it just wasn't Ann. So there was a CIO, because it was a technology directed memo of buying technology equipment. So that was good buy in there. Good teamwork. So I think one of the things, I know the coalition's has been commenting on this for quite a while, is the number of duplicative contracts in government. So I think we start with that, Roger. I think that is the issuance of the October memo, to your point, is one step towards looking at not increasing.
Right.
Sorry. Very good. Not increasing the number of IT contracts that are awarded for desktop and laptops, that at least the number won't go up. I think part of it is, you know, OFPP. I don't think ever denied a acquisition that was supposed to go through them for
that business case analysis business requirement.
And so I think that it allowed it to create contract duplication. In this case, they're taking a step towards, you know, looking at curtailing contract duplication. I think one of the things from an industry standpoint, not only industry, but from a customer standpoint, is they don't want to, some people are take these memos internally so directly that people start to standardize in an area that may, you know, over time, if they try and lock in on a large quantity over a period of time of laptops or desktops, that the government will not be able to have access to the latest technology when there are model changes and, you know, design changes and technology changes. So that's that would be the one thing I think we should be careful of and make sure that is held to a minimum where it can be.
Right. Well, it's someone like
this category management, by the way.
Yes, it's under the guise of category management. Right. Here, Bill, I got the category management policy 15-1, improving 15-1. The acquisition and management of common IT.
Right.
You know, colon laptops and desktops. That's like the actual title. Yeah, I think I got it exactly right. I'm not sure.
Spoken like a good lawyer.
But it seems like there's two things going on here, right, that you sort of touched on. Number one, you know, that from a contracting side, there, you know, it does, you know, drive and sort of direct use of these contract vehicles so that will, rather than creating your own. So on the contracting side, it does address contract duplication. The other side of it is requirements, right, because they are establishing a certain set, you know, various set of configurations based on what they see as terms of spend. And I think they're supposed to update it periodically to try to add new configurations as appropriate. That part seems to me sounds a bit more challenging. I don't know if you have thoughts on that. Yeah, it's because you're really, then you get into people's requirements.
Exactly. When I was in government, we tried some of this, and we tried it actually on copier equipment. And we got a great, Roger, we got the best deal on this copier model, just the best deal. And we bought a lot. Okay, I'll just say that right now. So I'm also a taxpayer. But the key was we got such a good deal on them, but that was the end of the technology run on the copier equipment. and ended up going in a warehouse, and it drained the warranty. So I'm sure everybody's going to be smarter than we were in the early 90s on trying to figure this out. But we did get a good deal.
Right.
But we ended up trading a lot of them in for other newer technology. And the lesson learned here, you know, it sounds basic, but this right here is you have to buy with the times. It is a matter of, you know, the technologies are always changing. And I know that, and I don't know the time frame. It was whether once a quarter or every...
I think it was every... I'm not even sure myself.
Every 6 months or something.
It was periodically. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, I mean, I can't enough say that.
Yeah, periodic is a good way out of it. But anyway, yeah, they're gonna do it. And it's hard to do an upgrade. And who's going to do it? When are they going to do it? And how consistent are they going to be? So, but, you know, that's half full conversation.
Sure.
I mean, half empty. So half full is, I think, then it gives, you know, there's still only so many desktop and laptop manufacturers here. So hopefully the government can unify where there's reasonableness of requirements and get a good deal for government at the time of the need.
Right. Okay. And just category management more broadly, do you have any thoughts or observations on what you've seen to date?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's a sea change. I mean, some of it's just common sense and government procurement.
Hey, there you go. Well, we've heard that before. I don't know.
And so I think the key to a lot of this is data. And, you know, we continue to hear that. And, you know, the government recognizes that data helps you evaluate, you know, what you have, how you can get better, you know, what to get out of and all that. The key here is that the government creates the data, their own data, but they aren't recording it. And I think that...
Or managing it all that while.
Yeah. Right. And so, but they aren't capturing it to a point where maybe they can analyze it. But the key is to turn to industry and have industry, you know, feed you back the data, you know, from various sources is, I think, some people and within, I think, government in particular feel that's the only way that they're going to be able to accelerate category management. And I think that's yet to be found. But, you know, it is a change. It is a cost to the government if they had to do it. And it's going to be a cost to industry for industry to do it as well. And then government, I assume, is saying they were willing to pay for it because they are reaching out to industry. I guess that's what.
Well, that's the big question: whether they are willing to provide and pay for what basically is a new deliverable that they want to. You know, it can't be at no cost.
So data is not free.
No, data is not a free good.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. So yeah, and it is very data focused, and that's the interesting part that they were talking about data that the government creates.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, another thing I wanted to ask you about just generally, and this is a little bit off the category management beaten path, but, you know, what are your, well, let's stay on that. What are your impressions of, you know, there's a common acquisition portal that GSA has launched, and that's sort of supposed to be the electronic, for lack of a better term description, like the electronic homepage of category management in terms of what's available and different contract listings and that sort of thing.
I think the idea here sort of gets back to the government wants to host electronically what contracts are out there and give the buyers an opportunity to, or the acquisition folks throughout government around the world, to click in and see what's there. From our personal lives, that makes sense. The key is, you know, everybody's requirements and their pricing is so different because they're getting back to the data that we're talking about, you know, the government also has a socioeconomic responsibility,
right?
And there's I don't know how many I just can't think of how many socioeconomic categories there are now. But you know, you have the small business aspect. You have the veterans. You have the women owned. You know, you have the veteran. You have hub zone. So there's a lot there that people have to go through to meet their internal agency goals as well, and still provide some assurance of getting fair and reasonable price. So how that acquisition hallway is going to sort through that, you know, as well as the just to be able to host it. But I think it'd be good for, you know, we talk about open discussion, transparency.
Yes.
And I think it'd be good for GSA to start sharing activity of that.
How many people are using it? Actually,
yeah,
using
how many
that
click-throughs
site?
Or how much business? Because then
that would be interesting to see.
Yeah, yeah. Because then
that's the FT, what's the return on the investment?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. And you know, it's gonna. Hey, it's
speaking of that returns. I mean, right now we do have to take our last break, Bill. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And when we come back, we'll continue a little bit of this dialogue on MythBusters dialogue on category management, and then touch a little bit more on the GSA schedules program, particularly what's going on in that arena. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, we were talking about category management, the Common Acquisition Platform. I think that's the correct term for it. Or portal platform, I think it's CAP, whatever. But to your point, the data, you know, that's interesting. The data would be on who's actually using it and what's the traffic through it. That would be very, I think, in the interest of transparency, that's an interesting, you know, sort of question. And to that, I know contractors across the federal enterprise would be interested in seeing how much it's actually being used or and what's going on with it. I think that would be very helpful to them to understand that.
That'd be data, right?
That would be data. That would be data that the government has.
That's right. Right. So electronically.
Yes, it does.
Well, I think from an industry standpoint, there's a feeling of additional requirements that are continuing to get added on. And I think having what you just said available to industry, Roger, the activity in the hallway?
Yes, the common acquisition. Hallways that are in the Common Acquisition Platform. Yeah.
So it's part of, you know, that's what industry would be helpful for industry to see that. You know, GSA publishes its schedule sales. It publishes how many requisitions it does in e-buy.
Right.
And how many offers they get. So they have some good data that they capture. So I think it would be good to show the activity in some of these new projects because industry needs that. To analyze that, to you know, they have to decide on you know how they're going to conduct their business and
right, how they're going to go to market, right?
Yep. And so that would be good for their to show to their management on hey, this is why we should sell into GSA, or not. To be honest with you, so I think that's a fair thing that GSA should consider and want to provide its industry partners.
Right.
Let me ask you a question, Roger.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Oh, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble now.
Well, you said I could host the show for a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
So,
your host today is Bill Gormley? No, go ahead.
So, the fall conference, you had Dr. Jack Gansler there, and I knew I wrote it down. I just didn't bring it with me. But I think it was pretty he gave a great illustration of, you know, if you are really to sit down and read what's in a contract, you know, or the FAR
right.
in acquisition. What was did you remember what he?
I think he said something like 146,000 pages of acquisition regulations, the FAR, and it may have been just the FAR, but I think it was FAR and some in the supplements that are out there,
reps and certs or something.
Yeah, or just all kinds of stuff.
So anyway, at the end of the day, let's say 140,000. Let's reduce it.
Right, round it off.
Yeah. That's a lot, and I think from an industry standpoint. You know, I think some of the discussion here could just be is, you know, are there people are always looking at streamlining, becoming more efficient, but, you know, we're not hearing where the government is reducing the I hate to say burden, but the cost of doing business contractually with the government, you know, continues to go up based on, I think, the requirements.
Sure.
And a lot of it's administrative requirements. And I think that's
it's
a tough balance. It's always going to be there. But I know Jack Gansler, you know, he was at his university. He was at University of Maryland. Yeah, they did this whole study on it. And I think it kind of came out, you know, procurement's pretty straightforward at the end of the day.
Yes.
But 146,000 pages. I mean, we know that's not going to apply to buying a pencil, or I don't know, someone could probably come back and say it does, but I mean, But there's a lot of things it does. You know, you have to be aware of what your risks are. And I think in some cases, the creator of a solicitation really doesn't take into consideration, you know, the industry side. And I think it would be very helpful. You know, in the beginning of the show, we talked about the reverse, you know, industry day with DHS. I mean, I think this would be good to have a reverse industry day on government, you know, regulations.
Right.
Wouldn't it be nice? And maybe we should initiate something. Maybe get OFPP.
Right. Reverse industry day on government regulations. Yeah, that's
bam.
Kind of, yeah,
as
there
the
we
kids
go.
Would say.
Hey, that would be Mythbusters on steroids,
that
right,
would,
Bill?
Yeah, ditto. Yeah, you got it on that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, so and you had talked about when we talked earlier about the memo, the OMB memo, and it, you know, contract duplication. I just you know, there's some interesting dynamics in the schedules program in terms of what's duplication, what isn't duplication, what's market segmentation. I'm particularly curious if you were following, you know, the potential creation of a health IT special line item for IT Schedule 70, and then a cyber line item for Schedule 70, and whether what, you know, as someone who, you know, basically, you know, was responsible, yeah, frankly, which for adding professional services to the GSA schedules and then managing the growth of that program in the addition of new things, you know, you have any thoughts on that area?
I think that I'm going to answer your question. All right.
Yeah.
I think we need to step back for just a minute, because the schedules is the value of the schedules is to have, for the government to have access to emerging and new, I hate to use the word technology, because a lot of people take that towards IT.
Right. It could be innovation can occur.
Innovation. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Innovate. That's good.
But it could occur in any segment.
Thank you. You do such a good job. You do such a good job of that.
Thank
you. Cleaning me up here.
Okay.
So anyway, but the key is it gives that, you know, that platform gives government access to many, many contractors in that. So I think part of this is when you talk about, you know, the security side of a SIN or adding new SINs, one thing I think we were always trying to be careful of is not to get too specific.
Right. Prescriptive.
Prescriptive. Kind of, right, so yeah. That's kind of, again, you know, you have to be careful that as it's written that you can add on, I can't believe I'm saying this, ODCs.
Other direct costs?
Because there are going to be other direct costs on some of these solutions here.
Right.
And GSA has got the chocks in their wheels. I mean, they just can't get
what
out of
the chock,
they
man.
Can't
they
get
got
out,
like they gravel can't, in the gears or something,
space.
Man.
ODCs are, but the lack of ODCs under the schedules program is creating contract duplication in government, to be honest with you. And I think in the sense that you're talking about, ODCs are going to have to be involved in that.
That's true.
To make it very, to accelerate it.
Or even in cloud. You know, cloud
exactly.
SIN, all
yeah.
those
I mean,
things.
I mean, it's just the way life is, the way businesses run, and GSA should be a reflection of what they offer, should be a reflection of how industry delivers to industry. And government is no different in that regard. And so try and narrow it down and price every element out. The government doesn't know what its requirements are in many cases. And that's not a criticism. It's just that's the evolution of when you get into an area that is so dynamic and is emerging technologies, or what you call it. What would you call it?
Innovation,
excuse
right.
me. I got to get that.
Right.
And innovations that the government should have. You can't price it all out. And that's where the ODCs come in.
Yeah, at the contract. I mean, that's, yeah, exactly. We price it based on the requirement at mm-hmm. the order level, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah. Hey, I want to thank my guest today. He's Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you have been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.